Blog Talk Radio.
Artist Loft. You're listening to T.J. Adams Evans at the present time, and our guest will be Mr. Corey Riemann. Our radio host is Ms. Deandra Isom, and we're looking forward to having this interview with a talented young man who has been on tour traveling, Corey Riemann, with his band Dilemma. So we're going to get ready to start this show. We'd like to give shout outs to everyone that's listening in, and we do hope that you will call in. That number is 516-387-1543. And we'd like to welcome him. Hi, Deandra. Hi, Corey. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. We're going to go ahead and get started. So go ahead, Deandra. You're on.
All right. Corey, my first question for you is, at what age were you diagnosed with Marfan syndrome?
So I was 17 years old. I was a junior in high school. I'm trying to remember. It's crazy. It feels like forever at this point. It was my junior year of high school, and I had never heard of it, had no idea what it was in the least bit. So it kind of came out of absolute left field to myself, to my friends. You know, my family handled it rather, you know, they seemed to have a little more, you know, calm than I did, but they're probably panicking more than they let on. But no, it's a very odd age, an odd moment to have something that drastic, or at least something that, you know, comes off as drastic. From the first, you know, inception of hearing it. But it's a weird time to have that happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're looking good, Corey. I was looking at some of your pictures on the internet, and I like your presentation, your new styles and everything. And your songs are really awesome. And we're going to play one before we leave the show tonight, but I do have a question myself for you. This is the producer, Gigi, and I'd like to know, when did you really first start out singing and playing a guitar?
So I've pretty much always been singing to some degree or another. My first instrument wasn't the guitar, though. My first instrument, probably my best instrument's the harmonica. I probably started playing, I believe I was 4 years old when I began playing that. My uncle had given me one to the horror and dismay of the rest of my family. A four-year-old with a harmonica is a terrible thing. And but I kind of just always, I kind of played it for a while and a while and a while, and I was always singing, and my interest in music kind of built up, and eventually I ended up in a band, and there were a couple of songs that, you know, needed or should have had a harmonica, and I'm like, okay, you know what, let me see, you know, I've always kind of joked around, let's see what happens here, and lo and behold, you know, I've gotten to play the harmonica with members of the Allman Brothers Band. That was, you know, it's crazy to think.
Mm-hmm. I see. Deandra?
Okay. So how has the condition affected you? And in what way and how have you managed to cope with it?
So coming up on 6 years in October, it was the week before my 21st birthday. My left lung collapsed two times within a 10-day period. That as a singer, as a harmonica player, that's a pretty challenging thing. And again, the week before my 21st birthday, like, are you kidding me? And I know that's the silly thing to be laughing at, but like, you know, not for nothing. Hey, I had plans that were not, you know, in the state of recuperating from having like a tube in my side. That was not my plans for my 21st birthday, but nevertheless, I persisted, and hey, I did get to go to the, you know, I got to go, my friends like pretty much carried me into the liquor store. I walked out with my six pack though. I showed them my ID and I was able to do it. I had a cane and everything, but it was okay. but that took me off of performing for a little bit. So I had about a 4 month period where I was just, it's hard. You know, we kept rehearsing to a degree. I wasn't performing. I was writing. And then I actually got the opportunity from my hospital experience to write definitely one of my heavier songs. And one of the songs I actually released solo. It's a song called Ice Cold Rain, and where that came from, the second trip in the hospital, they decided major surgery was going to be the way to go, and they removed about an eighth of my lung, my left lung. So that's weird. That's weird to think about. It's a weird, like, wow, I don't have two full lungs in there. It's strange. But it's also a joke. I actually had a custom suit just made, and the inside pocket on my left side says 7/8, and I take it with a grain of salt and some humor, but yeah, when I was in the hospital, I got to kind of have a Keith Richards moment. After I got out of surgery, I was on a morphine drip, and morphine is a very weird experience. I don't do any, like, there's parts of me that's not very rock and roll, so I'm not, I don't know for FCC or whatnot, so I'll keep that vague, but I'm not very, you know, stereotypically rock and roll, let's put it that way. So I was on that morphine drip, and I felt like my, you know, my head was still going and kind of warm and laughing and like, but my body felt like it was a corpse. And I just watched the dripper just dripping, dripping, dripping away the pain, the ice cold rain. And the song came to me. So yeah, no, like, hopefully I will never be in the condition to have a Keith Richards moment like that, where I'm, you know, under the spell of certain chemical, this, that, or the other thing, but I got to do it while I was in a hospital bed. It was kind of funny. But, and lo and behold, during the time I was recuperating, I got to record that song.
That's very interesting, Corey. That's very interesting. And you've come a long way.
That's great.
Yeah, you have a beautiful voice, by the way. And you held
Thank
a
you.
Guitar with so much passion. So let me ask you, who were some of your influencers? Were you influenced by the Beatles or...
Oh,
anyone
absolutely.
Like that?
That was so.
Okay.
The Beatles got me into music. Bruce Springsteen made me want to play music.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Townsend made me want to pick up a guitar.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And as time went on, in high school I was that guy that listened to David Bowie and the Velvet Underground and Lou Reed. Lou Reed actually died on my 18th birthday, which was a major bummer. Like, I have really bad luck with all of my milestone birthdays, apparently. Whether it be, you know, being hospitalized right before my 21st or, like, one of my, like, you know, favorite musicians dying on my 18th birthday. You know, weird bad luck with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, I was that guy, and in recent years, you know, in recent times even, like, I'm a music historian. I was a fan of music long before I played it. And I can give you, if you named just two random, like, rock musicians, I could give you the 6 degrees of separation. That's the kind of stuff I'm really into. I was a history guy before I was into music, too. So, like, my love of history got me into music, and then getting into the love of the history of music got me actually into, you know, wanting to play it and then start writing. And as time went on, you know, not for nothing, I've been listening to a ton of disco lately. I don't know why people, what the deal was. Why? And I will admit, when I was, like, in middle school and high school, like, I thought I was funny with the, you know, disco sucks, but how stupid was I when I realized, oh, my God, this is just music that people want to dance to and have a good time to? I was the fool.
Exactly.
See ya. Okay. Wow. That's really good. Well, my next question is, have you ever experienced bullying in high school?
Definitely not. I won't say that I experienced, like, bullying in high school. Maybe some non-understanding, but, like, not for nothing. I was in the same boat as most of my friends. They didn't get what was going on as much as I didn't know what was going on. So perhaps there were things that were said that might have been, you know, had they known it was out of taste, they wouldn't have said it. But I'm not here to, you know, I don't want to, like, you know, I always got through it because, you know what, you have to have some humor. You have to be honest with yourself, and you have to have a sense of humor to deal with these kinds of things, to get through these kinds of things, because if you don't, you're just going to be miserable, and there's no need for that.
Exactly.
Wow. Right.
And of course, bullying is also, it's an ongoing situation here, you know, in our world as we live today. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to take this quick break and say we are listening to Mr. Corey Ryman with our host, Ziadra Isom. My name is Gigi Adams, producer for The Artist Loft. And Corey Ryman has been influenced by songs and records of the Beatles, Dave Mathis, Big Star, The Rolling Stones, Neil Young, Crazy Horse, wow, The Doors, along with musical influence of visionaries like Bruce Springsteen, as he said earlier, The Velvet Underground, The Beach Boys, The Talking Heads, and Peter Gabriel. Now, out of those that I named so far, which is your favorite, Corey?
I mean, I think every artist, I mean, I think I always have to kind of go with the Beatles. That's kind of the go-to, but there's always kind of been this reach for second, and that's the one that always kind of changes. There's the Beatles, and then there's the Flavor of the Month. Whoever that is for the moment, and, like, I can tell you, you know what? I can tell you this. I have seen, the band I have seen more than any other was the Dave Matthews Band. I have seen John Mayer as a solo artist more than anybody, but most of those shows were him with Dead & Company. I'm also a very big Deadhead. And I'm not afraid to admit it.
So is my granddaughter.
Yeah. It's a good time. I'm really hoping everything right now isn't going to get screwed up. I hope that I bought my tickets for the tour. Damn it, I want to see it. It's been 2 years already.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll get there. I'm sure you'll get there. You'll get there, and I'm sure that you'll have a wonderful time. Ladies and gentlemen, we're listening. You're welcome, Corey. You're listening to The Artist Loft with radio host Ziadra Isom. We're going to take a quick break for a moment and play one of Corey's tracks, and we'll be right back. If you'd like to call in, that number is 516-387-1543. We'll be right back, and we're going to pull it up for you and see if we can get it rolling here. In the meantime, Corey, is there anything you'd like to ask Liana before we go ahead and go into this break for his music?
No, I want to thank you so much for having me. Like, it's a great time. I love radio interviews. I don't think radio is dead. I think kind of the pandemic's kind of helped the format a bit, and I'm excited to see what's going on, and I can't wait to keep going forward.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
You have a question, Z, before we go into the break for your music?
Not at this moment, but I will probably after the next song.
I have one quick question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, how does the Marfan syndrome affect your dating life? How has dating been for you with Marfan syndrome?
I'm not so much one for the kiss and tell, but I'm not exactly. It hasn't challenged much. I will put it and leave it at that.
Well spoken.
Well, we're waiting on the music to pull up. Seems as if we're having sort of a bit of a malfunction with the internet here. Hear it. This is the dilemma.
I know what.
Fix you up.
It's our new single we put out.
Yeah.
If you have any music in the background you can play for us, that'd be good too. If we can't get it up and going.
I mean, actually, I could do that.
Okay.
I can do that for you.
Okay. You have some music in the background.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do apologize for this mishap at the moment, but our internet is not really.
Fortunately enough, I'm broadcasting through it. I do a couple podcasts and shows and whatnot, so I'm actually talking through my board, so the audio actually won't be too bad.
Okay, great.
Yeah, this is the thing. We recorded this during the lockdown. We put it out a few months ago. It's been 6 months already. Wow, it's got over 3,000 views. Yeah, it's earned. Yeah.
What's his title?
The title of the song is "Fix You Up," and it's available on all the streaming services. Yada yada, your Spotify, Apple Music, Google, Amazon, whatever you listen and stream your music on, you can find it there. And the music video as well, that was done by PostFix, that's here too. So yeah, that's the song that if you're ready for it, I can play it.
We're ready. I'm so apologetic because our internet is just not working. It's not functioning. It's just it keeps stalling. So go ahead. We're ready. Go ahead and listen, ladies and gentlemen.
All good.
Corey Ryan picked you up. Go ahead.
Awesome. It's loud enough. Here we go.
Amazing. You are awesome on the guitar. Wow.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Artist Loft with our radio host, Deandra Eisen, and our guest, Mr. Corey Ryman, guitarist, comedian. You are a comedian also, right?
I've done some work with some really cool guys. Actually, the person who did the video for with my band for that song, his name is Zach Haber, and he's with a group called Public Access and Chill. And I've done a bunch of some voice work with them and some on screen appearances. I did the theme song that they used for a while, as well. So, yeah, no, I touched my foot in comedy. When I need to.
Mhm. That's good. Very good. Very good. It is a joy to have you on the show. And back to you, Leandra.
Yes, I'd like to know what genre that song comes from. I really like the bass in it and the strings.
So when we're asked, I would say the best way to describe us, we're an indie band. So we play a lot of classic rock, or I guess you could say dad rock, live. We're an indie band. We've got the members of the band. We all have like a bunch of different backgrounds. I'm a straight up rock and roll guy. I'm from the Springsteen to the Bowie and even the weird stuff like Kraftwerk and all the punk rock. I was a big punk rock guy in high school. I loved Lou Reed and the New York Dolls and stuff like that. I was that weirdo. But then on the other hand, my guitarist, he's really into he came up on Stevie Ray Vaughan. He was a blues guy who really, really wishes he could do something a lot angrier than the blues. He likes the sentimentality, but wanted to break out from it. Our drummer, Nick, he's another guy. He's, between blues and rock. A bunch of us met at a blues club for the most part, the same blues club at different times. It's crazy. It's been 5 years that the Dilemma's been together, and it's been an absolute hoot. And it's been a trip, but it's been a hoot.
Okay, so y'all been real creative with all your work that y'all have written.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, no,
okay.
We want to try to make things that people haven't heard before. That song in particular, we put out our first album 2.5 years ago. It's called Land Ho. That's another one that's on streaming services. And those songs, it was the groundwork. It was our debut. And there's songs that have to a degree even touch the topic of the Marfan syndrome and some of the stuff that was going on in my head, because some of those songs were a few years old at that point. Some of those songs I had even written with my high school band, but just never gotten to finish, and Fix You Up included. So, mm-hmm. yeah, no, the different mix of people, the different, just letting things simmer, kind of age over time, ferment. That's where some of that comes from.
That's great. Corey, let me ask you, I've got a two-part question here. What is the craziest thing that happened to you on tour, and what is your songwriting process?
All right, so let's think. Something that won't incriminate me. Because, do we get into the regular, when we're in the hotels and stuff, do we do the regular shenanigans? No, we're not like Keith Moon, we're not like Joe Walsh here, we're not looking to throw TVs out of, into pools and whatnot, but, our idea of mischief is, where were we? We were outside of Cooperstown recently, and there was a Circle K across the street. Now, when I say across the street, I mean, across a highway. But, did that stop us in the middle of the night? Because what else are we going to do in the middle of upstate New York at 1 in the morning when you still have adrenaline going from that night before? Nothing. So, yeah, we get into those normal kinds of things, and we've seen all the – oh, man, I could probably do a temperance revival from some of the things that we've witnessed with others alone and their uses of various chemicals and substances and all the reasons why you shouldn't. I've seen more reasons why you shouldn't than reasons you should. Not everybody's the Grateful Dead and can handle their stuff.
Of course not.
True.
You're only human. You can only go to a limited. That's so funny. You can only go to. Go ahead.
How well did breaking on through to the other side work for Jim Morrison? As big of a door fan, you can only go so far.
Exactly. You can only go so far. Zia, okay. The second part of the question was, and then I'll get you back to Zia. What is your songwriting process when you write a song? What is that process? What is the detail?
So the muse can come from the different ways. Like, I know some guys start with the lyrics, some guys start with the music, and really, so when I'm on stage, I'm jumping between instruments. I play keyboard, harmonica, guitar. I'm singing and playing percussion, and so I don't like being in one place in one. Or doing one thing at a time, and the same goes with the songwriting. Sometimes, literally, I'll just have a phrase that comes into my head that just kind of really sits well, either as a line or as just even just a title or a concept for something. We're working on a song right now, and the lyrics got very involved and very in depth on one topic, but the title kind of came out of nowhere, and it was a very silly title, and the song's called Synthlust Wunderbar, and you're like, what? So, and eventually the song came out about, there was a whole scene of musicians in West Germany, not just West Germany, but West Berlin in particular. Mm-hmm. It was called Krautrock, and there were these very cool bands like Kraftwerk, and with wonderful names like Tangerine Dream and Neu, and very, very, they mixed technology and wanted to make something that was different than, the standard English or American rock and roll, and they were playing with synthesizers and really cool stuff, and I was like, this contrast, can you imagine a city, one individual city that just had two entirely different heartbeats going on? Like on one end, like this beautiful like revival. They're trying to, they had to put the mirror on themselves for, doing the most evil and heinous thing in the world. And then they're just like trying on the one side of the city to revive, rejuvenate, add color and add light. And then on the other side, you're seeing the grind. You are seeing, this almost 1984 kind of stuff going on. And this song kind of bloomed out of it, and I had, three full verses of some really involved stuff, and sometimes all it takes is a title, and then other times it's just like I have a riff or chords that fit. I don't know if I have necessarily a songwriting process, but Other than just go with it. Carpe diem, gonzo.
Wow. You're really doing good, Corey. Back to you, Zena.
Wow, I'm impressed. Wow. Okay. So how has the pandemic affected you as far as your overall mood? You know, everybody wearing masks and everything.
So, I mean, I don't have, you know, the greatest set of teeth that God ever provided anybody. So the masks aren't exactly like, you know, the worst thing in the world. But, you know, besides like the everyday, the pain in the you-know-what, I'm here to get done with it. If it takes me putting on a mask, I got my shots, I did what I needed to do. Like, I want to play music. I never want to have clubs shut down again. That was what was awful. Now, I'm not going to say that it was all terrible what went on, because you know what? The band, The Dilemma, we kept thriving. We recorded that song, Fix You Up. We put a lot of work in. We started our own web show that we do every week, every Monday, to keep the page going. And that's now getting syndicated on a radio station. We worked hard, and over that time, that message kind of spread out to people. And this summer, now that everything's come back, we were the first band at one of the big clubs in New Haven called Stella Blues. We played two headlining weekends at Lake Compounds in June. We've been playing all the different breweries in the area. We're going to be at the Harpoon Brewery in Boston on the 28th. We're doing, you know, we really, you know, we had something terrible that was thrown at us, but I didn't want to sit around and suffer. I didn't want to sink. I saw so many great bands in this area die. I saw Daft Punk broke up. For almost 20 years they've been together. They put out, you know, when I was in middle school and high school, they were putting out the pop hits, and like to see them, the pandemic broke them up. Like, I wasn't looking to have that happen. I'm striving to go forward. I read during the course of the last like 15 months, I've been reading one of them. Whenever I have some time, I've been reading the basketball coach, Bob Knight, his book, The Power of Negative Thinking. There's no good in being too much of an optimist. Being an optimist makes you lie to yourself. And there's times that you should be, and there's times that, and you should always have, you know, faith in yourself. You should have confidence, but you know, sometimes you got to think, okay, you know what? Yeah, this got thrown at me. This is what's going to happen. You know what? Not every time. It's not always. Yeah, it's not always about winning. But don't ever lose. I wasn't looking to lose.
Exactly. Even though this pandemic is quite a pain in the you know what, as you say, we all must all stick together to try to make it better for each one of us by doing what is necessary to do. I don't want any more shutdowns myself either, because, you know, the things that I do, it creates a lot of people back and forth all day long doing certain things. So in the entertainment world, you have to learn how to cope with it, and it kind of shut us down for a minute. And it's really a devastating thing to have to start back and regroup again, because, as you say, you don't want to stop. You want to just keep going, and you want to keep making sure that this is what you want to do and you want to give this to the world. So I really commend you on your comment, and I wanted to play something before Deandra has another question right quick. It's something that I pulled up. And I think this is called Corey Ryman, Mighty Quinn, Bob Dylan cover. The Farmer.
Lord. That's a few summers ago.
Yep. Thank you. right, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to play a little bit of that and get you to comment on it after listening to that. I mean, we've been listening to it pretty much all night because we love it, and we could, unfortunately, couldn't get the song that we had to play for you. But tell us about that, The Mighty Quinn, with the Bob Dylan cover.
That's the Farming Polo Club. I've been playing that song just like since forever. I heard it at, you know, open mics and whatnot. I've always been a big Dylan fan, but like as I've gotten older, I've appreciated it more. And I liked, I guess it, put it this way, I liked songs like that way back when. But the album now that strikes me with Dylan is Blood on the Tracks. I don't think he ever did anything better than it. Him at his absolute, you know, his wittiest. He got past, you know, how many, besides like David Bowie, how many guys gets to have a career resurrection like Bob Dylan? You know, he had his whole, you know, when he went electric, the folk guys called him Judas. And then, you know, from, you know, the whole, you know, the rest of the 60s, the second half of the 60s, it burned him out. There were people trying to put him on a pedestal that he didn't want to deal with. So everything goes out of whack. You know, he gets in his motorcycle accident outside Woodstock, does that whole thing, and he writes the most tragic, like, breakup album of all time. And that album, Blood on the Tracks, between, you know, Idiot Wind, which it has his cynicism, it has that sense of humor. Like, Bob Dylan doesn't just write a love song. You're a Big Girl Now, again, this devastation, and the opening track, Tangled Up in Blue, I think that's like the Odyssey, but in rock and roll form. It's amazing.
Exactly. You remind me of Bob Dylan. You remind me your vibe, your energy. You remind me of him, even though he's low key and everything. But I'm going to toss it back to Zia. Go ahead, Zia.
Yes. Do you have any pets?
I do not. I do not have any pets. I used to have fish way back when, and that was just, you know, just to kill some time. My parents joked when I was younger that I asked for a dog and they offered a sister and I took that instead. But I think I turned out better on that end. I have the best sister in the world. She, you know, she comes to my shows. She helps out with everything, and she's just wonderful. With the pandemic, we get to hang out with each other all the time. She's been, she's an accountant, so she's been working from home because there's really no need for her to go back into the office. Like, she doesn't have to go back in because, you know what, she can do everything mobily. So, yeah, I get to, during the day, I sell yearbooks, so I have my office in the house. I work with my father. The two of us, you know, started this, you know, yearbook company. We're our branch of a yearbook company. And, yeah, so the three of us work all day, and then my mom comes home from the bank. She works at the bank. So it's been fun. Like, I'm going to be honest. It hasn't been all doom and gloom for me. There's been a lot of good that's come out of the last, you know, few months here, and I'm really here to see the silver linings and things, and like I'm here for lessons to be learned, and I'm here for, you know, gains to be found. I'm not here to profiteer. I'm not here to carpetbag. I'm not here to do anything of that sort. But what I'm here to do, you know what? If there are any positives, I want to really, you know, find them, and I want to use them, and I want to get the best. You know, finding out about Zoom has made all work for me easier. I can handle 7 accounts in a day on Zoom, even going in, because we weren't able to go into any schools. Trying to do a yearbook thing without going into a school, that's very hard. But prior to this, prior to Zoom, we could cover 3 accounts, and we cover all the way from Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut, my dad and I. So we would be, you know, some days in Cape Cod in the morning, at Rhode Island in the afternoon, and somewhere by our house in the day, and, you know, you get 30 minutes for an appointment, and you're spending 2.5 hours in the car going here, there, and everywhere. In Zoom, I can cover twice the territory in 2 hours. So I'm here for the benefits. I'm here for all the good that's coming.
That's totally awesome. That is really totally awesome. Zia?
Yes, more of a down-to-earth question on this next one. What is your favorite type of TV show?
Oh, man. So I, again, as I mentioned, I'm a history guy. So if it comes to, I grew up probably from the time I was 4 until I was 14 watching the History Channel every night going to bed because I had a TV in my room. But, and as a result, you know, in recent times, I've always loved historical dramas. I've loved, I'm not afraid to admit that, like, I have a very similar taste in television shows to a lot of my mom's friends. Have I binged The Crown multiple times now? Absolutely have. Though I'll tell you, my favorite TV show of all time, what I will tell you is the greatest show that was ever made, is the masterpiece by Aaron Sorkin, The West Wing.
The West Wing,
no show.
Yeah.
The West Wing, MASH. I got to tell you, I really loved The Crown. I think it was so well done. If I, top of my head, top 3 shows of all time, right there.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, that's
great.
A good one.
That's a good one. Yeah. Let me ask you, Corey. What does your band name mean, Dilemma? And also another.
Oh, I love
two part. Another two part question, really quick. The yearbooks. When you go on tour, do you do this every time you go on tour to sign the yearbooks? And, of course, that first question was, what does your band name mean, Dilemma?
So, I love answering that question because I love giving my answer. The dilemma
okay.
is not because we are the it's not because we are the problem. We're here to solve them. You know, I love playing originals and whatnot, and I love doing like the showcase shows. I love doing like the venue shows, like the concert hall shows. But not for nothing, the other thing that came from the pandemic, I love playing parties. I enjoy being a party band. So, you know what? If someone's having a 40th birthday party and they tell me that their favorite artist is Neil Young, you know what? We'll come in with a set list that has a lot more Neil Young than we're used to. But, you know what? We'll do it. You know, we'll do everything from, you know, everything from Harry Chapin to Harry Styles. We play the Bee Gees. We play Donna Summer. Like, we're here to solve problems. We're here to make ourselves available to do things. We, you know, I don't want to be an issue. I want to be able to play music. Again, my whole thing, I just want to play. I want to, you know what? I like, I'm not going to say I don't enjoy making the money off it, because you know what? If you know how to do it right, you can do well. I'm learning this rock and roll thing. You do it well. You don't spend on stupid things. You don't, it's put it in my, the language I'm familiar with. If you're not a schmuck about it, it's great.
Exactly. Zia?
I can't think of a next question to ask. Okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. Are you an independent artist or are you signed to a label? Because I know some music artists are signed to labels.
So, if the right label approaches, I'm down to talk. And we've talked to some people. We've worked with some cool people in the past. We've worked with producers who have worked with them, Joan Jett and Miley Cyrus, and we've done things with, you know, other artists like Randy Jackson from Zebra. We've had people approach us, and if the right deal comes, we'll do it. But as I mentioned in the last question, I am very careful about certain aspects. There, you know, it is called the music business, and there are too many people who have been screwed over for not remembering that. I'm here to look after myself. I'm here to look after my bandmates, and not for nothing, I'm here to look after the intellectual property that I create.
Exactly. Well,
yes,
you know, there have been so many controversies about, you know, rock and roll bands over the years, way back in the day, you know, and a lot of them didn't get an opportunity to get recognition as they should have. But thank God for new techniques, new technology, people being able to get on the internet, you know, getting all these little tunes together. I'm not an artist, so I can just only give you my terminology of things like Fruity Loops and all that other stuff that, you know, people can get on there and get, make their beats and sounds. Now you can go into a garage and plug up your guitar, and as long as you don't blow the neighbor across the yard, you know, and go ahead and practice that way. So who do you think coined the term rock and roll, Corey?
I can If I'm not mistaken, I can give you a pinpoint of who coined the term rock and roll, and I can give you a place in a city. The term came from Mr. Alan Freed, the king of the Moondog Swingers. He was doing his show, and he was talking rhythm and blues, and he was on his show was the Moondog. What was it? The Moondog Coronation? No, those are the concerts he did. But it was the Moondog Something Hour. That was his show. And he's like, you know, we've got this new music coming out from the East Coast. It's really rocking and it's really a rolling. And I cannot remember the exact date that he said that, but those words were uttered out of his mouth on the radio. And this kind of conglomeration of country music and rhythm and blues and jazz, this most American thing came together and it finally had a name. Alan Freed gave the name rock and roll.
Alan Freed, that is absolutely correct. Because you know where I'm going with this. I'm doing a couple of trivia questions before we leave the show tonight. Okay, Corey. Who is known as the father of rock and roll?
The father of rock and roll.
The father of rock and roll.
So... there's a few different areas that my mind's going here, because it's one of those terms that gets placed differently. On the one hand, my thought would be to say Chuck Berry, though I'll give you a hot take. I would tell you Chuck Berry, as opposed to Mr. Presley, is the true king of rock and roll, but I digress. I could also probably argue for a father of rock and roll, Mr. Robert Johnson, who's also the king of the Delta Blues, but... Who are they mentioning?
Chuck Berry.
They did put Chuck Berry. Okay.
Yeah, Chuck Berry. Now I've got one more. Do you mind? Because I know. Let me ask. I'm here for it. Okay. Do you have any more questions before I ask another question?
Let me see what I can pull up. What is your favorite type of action film?
My favorite type of action film. So again, I'm a bit with that love of history. You know, a recent one that I saw that I thought was absolutely remarkable was I saw back to back. I saw The Darkest Hour and Dunkirk. Both of them phenomenal. In The Darkest Hour, Gary Oldman playing Winston Churchill. Absolutely stunning performance. The accuracy to the detail that he put into a very complicated figure like that was absolutely to be commended. So when it comes to historical dramas, the same thing goes with the action movies, though I will still argue that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and I will die on that hill.
Okay.
All right. Another trivia question for you, Corey. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, you're listening to The Artist Loft, and we have a fantastic artist on the show, Mr. Corey Ryman, who is with the band Dilemma. And right now, before we close the show, we've got some questions for Corey. I do want to ask you about the yearbooks, too, before we go. All right.
Sure.
Question number three. Who is known as the king of rock and roll, Corey?
Elvis Presley, though, again, I will tell you that if you ask me, you know, Chuck Berry wrote his own songs. He played guitar much better. He was the full deal. He was a hell of a songwriter. I got to tell you, it might be Elvis, but I think that if you're talking royalty, the true pretender to the throne would be Mr. Chuck Berry.
Okay, but we're talking bigger times now. We're talking about...
The king of rock and roll.
Blue Sweet.
Elvis Presley.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding. You got the answer right, Zia. All right. Another question, and then we're going to ask you about your yearbook. All right. Last one, I promise, Corey. Which rock and roll star is known as the innovator, the originator, the architect of rock and roll?
Oh, that is none other than Little Richard from Macon, Georgia, the most pretty of all of his mother's children.
Mr. Pancake himself. There you go. There you go. Huh. There you go. That was fun. Now, I want to ask you about the yearbooks. You mentioned the yearbooks. You and your father do yearbooks. What the yearbooks are for school, or what are they for? Do you take them with you on
That's the cool thing about the yearbooks. Yeah, mostly we do high schools and private schools and middle schools and some elementary schools. But this year we also did a yearbook for the Boston Fire Department, which was a very cool project. And again, my love of history coming in there. Now, it's a very in-depth project. They had shown us a yearbook from 76 that had been done, and they're like, we want to kind of recreate this and modernize it. And it was thrilling to get to be a part of that project, a true honor. And I will let you know that working with the Boston Fire Department is everything like you would expect it to be. There's, you know, the guys are very fun, nice guys. There isn't a single letter R to be pronounced. Wicked Had, you know, everybody's, you know, somebody else's cousin. You know, everyone knows everyone. And as I'm talking, oh, God, it's like descending into the madness. I'm getting that Boston accent there, you know, it's charming. Charming.
Wow. Yeah, it is charming. It's just frankly charming. I like your accent as well. Now, Zeandra, do you have any more questions before we start to show down and slow down?
I'm all ran out over here.
She's all ran out, Corey. So let's talk about you. Let's talk about you a little bit more. We've got about maybe 7 minutes. 7 minutes left. Now, Who really influenced you? I know we talked about some of the things that influenced you the most, but one particular person in your mind that pops out right now, as far as getting you to where you are now. I know all the other bands and all the other groups influenced you, but what was one special person that was in your life that really, really got to the nitty gritty of your soul?
I mean, I wish I could say too, because I would tell you it's both of my parents, my mother who got me into music and my father who's been my manager and the guy who, you know, he taught me in between, you know, just he was a great athlete, he's a great salesman, and he saw me throw a ball and he realized that wasn't going to go very far. And if he was going to, you know, his father went to every one of his track meets, you know, not for nothing. If we had gone to the Olympics in 1980, my father was qualified for the trials. But he realized I was not that. When he saw me run my one season of track, I think it was described like a cartoon where, you know, the top of my body was moving, but my legs just weren't. And he realized if he was going to have the same kind of, you know, he wanted to have the close bond with his son that I loved music, and he's learned everything there is to know. He probably knows more about microphones than I do at this point. He studies his stuff. He knows, he talks about, and he learns about all the gear. He's a great salesman. He's a great manager and an advocate, and he cares. And my mother gave me my taste in music. She gave me, you know, my soul there. So it's not a musician. It's the two of them.
Exactly. Well, I understand that, and I really feel that, and love to your parents and your sister as well as you too. And we really, really do appreciate your time with us on the show tonight, because, you know, a lot of people, they wait and they listen. They don't really, really understand all of the things that a person can go through, especially with you. And as well as Zeandra, you know, with the Marfan syndrome and all the things that it can do to your body. But with you and Zeandra, I commend you both on being some of the most explicit, wonderful people in the world, you know, to me, because having this opportunity to have the broadcast on the show and to talk about things that people do and to let people know that nothing is impossible is a wonderful, wonderful thing for me to share with my listeners. And we do have about 1,000 listeners, but we do have a lot of shy people that don't call in, but actually they are listening, trust me, because I have one person who has a question right now, and she always seems to do that to me before we leave the show.
About
she
time.
Wants to know.
About time.
Yeah, she
I'm
wants
sorry,
to know.
I'm sorry, y'all.
I know. She wants to know, what are the main instruments, Corey, that you use in the Dilemma Band? What are some of the main instruments that you use?
So the main instrument that I play with the Dilemma on stage is definitely the guitar, but I play almost close second with the harmonica and the keyboards. And if you want to check out more of our stuff, feel free to go to our website, thedilemmaband.com. We've got videos there. We've got links to all of our streaming services, an up-to-date calendar of where we're going to be playing. Right now we're up and down the Northeast. You know, we're playing all around, playing Boston and Maine and Pennsylvania and New York. We're all over the place. So check out our calendar there. But yeah, no, mainly guitar, harmonica, keys. And I sing. I'm the front man. I'm there to have a good time.
Amen to that. Now give out the website one more time, Corey.
So yeah, you can check us out at thedilemmaband.com, and that's where you can reach our social links. And yeah, for Facebook and Instagram, it's the.dilemma.band.official. You can catch us at those places. We post stuff there. But yeah, thedilemmaband.com. Yeah, you can get our YouTube, our streaming services for Spotify and Apple Music, and all sorts of updates there. So, yeah.
Okay, great. You guys, I hope you got all of that. You had your pen and paper ready to listen. You're listening to The Artist Love. And again, I mentioned that our guest is Mr. Corey Ryman, instrumentalist. He's a fantastic person. So check him out on YouTube as well as dilemma.com. Leandra, would you like to have anything to
close? TheDilemmaBand.com, yeah.
TheDilemmaBand.com, right. Would you like to give a shout-out, Corey, before we close out for the night?
Yeah, I want to thank you guys so much for having me. This is so much fun. I'm going to be doing a show, actually, in a little bit. I'll be coming off from here. But, yeah, no, I want to just, you know, keep safe, everybody, you know, who's listening. Do the right thing right now. If you haven't gotten your shot, go get your shot. You know, the community is really looking out for it. I want to keep playing music. I want my friends all over the country to keep playing music, and I want everyone to be safe. Do what's right. Don't be crazy. I love people. I love everyone. I want to see us all get through this. I want to see, you know, if we get through just a little bit more, we don't have to worry. We get through this. We get past this bump. So get your shots. It's the easiest way. It's the easiest way.
Mask up if you have to, you know?
Absolutely.
That is correct.
We've got
wash your hands, wear a mask.
That's right. Back up 6 feet. Stay away, you know, as much as possible. Be an advocate for this dilemma that we're having right now. And also, remember, reputation is what men and women talk about, but character is what God and the angels know about. We have a beautiful character here right now with us, Mr. Corey Ryman, and we really do appreciate you being on the show. Zia, would you like to go ahead and close? Thank you so much, Corey, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Zia?
Well, like she said, we really appreciate having you on the show, and we hope to have you come back again sometime in the distant future.
I'd love to. This was such a fun time. Thank you for having me. Seriously, this is great.
Thank you, Corey, so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you've listened to The Artist. Corey Ryan, our co-host, and we hope that you have a good time. We really appreciated the time that we had tonight. Zia, thank you very much for being a fantastic host.
Anytime.
Look out for our shows every Sunday night or every other Sunday night with different guests that we have. We are a radio station that really caters to people with disabilities. Deandra is the new host for this show, The Artist Love, A Journey on The Artist Love. And again, we want to give shout outs to all the people that tuned in tonight to listen. We have so many emails that come in all the time for the shows. And tonight, we hope that you'll send us emails in and let us know how you like this show. We're here to help and to support those that are in need of support as well. You can also If you'd like to give a contribution to The Artist Loft, that we have a Cash App, and it's the $ The Artist Loft, ARTISTSLOFT. If you'd like to donate to the show to help us to keep bringing in such wonderful guests as we had tonight. Leandra is a very, very dear person to us, and as she's hosting these shows, she's doing great, and we really do appreciate you, Leandra, and we really appreciate the time that you give to us for the show itself. So I'm going to let you go ahead and close out, Leandra, as the music ends, and you all have a wonderful night. Zia?
All right, everybody stay safe and mask up, and remember, we're in this together, so hang in there and keep on fighting, everybody.
All right.
All right, take care, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Zia.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you for listening to The Artist Loft.